Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a show in season 5. If I could...
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Shut up, Leonard.
Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Need it to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline makes you say...
Touché.
Community building is here to stay.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about Community Season 5, Episode 9, VCR Maintenance and Educational Publishing. I'm Josh Wiggler. Draw! Bang! That's Jess Sterling.
Yeehaw!
Howdy, folks. Oh, my God. Vince Gilligan, what are you doing, man?
Did you know he was going to be on the show?
So once upon a time, I think did know this, but it was another one that like completely was erased from my mind.
Good.
Completely left my consciousness. So when he showed back up here and in the context, you know what? I was half watching at first because a lot's going on, folks, and we'll tell you all about that. And I am like 5 minutes removed from the end of this episode. We're like Jack Bauer over here. The events are occurring in real time, Jess Sterling. So it's like I was doing another thing and I was like watching the episode. I was like half watching the episode. And then I think it was like probably like he'd been on screen, like they'd been doing the game for like 10 seconds. I looked, I was like, Vince Gilligan?
Yeah.
What? That was delightful. What a delightful surprise. Very delightful surprise.
It's very fun.
I guess it makes sense that he shows up here in what is ostensibly Shirley's Breaking Bad moment. Like, Shirley goes full Heisenberg, basically, in this episode. That's fun.
I mean, I'm really happy that we're getting this version of Shirley. I think we're getting more, like, better Shirley content now, and it is really making me happy. Because I think it makes sense that Shirley would go full Breaking Bad. So I love to see it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the group who is the likeliest to become Heisenberg. Now, it's pretty clear who would be the likeliest to become Mike Ehrmantraut. One tracks.
I think Annie is on that on the radar somewhere of like.
Yeah, Annie. I could see Annie. Breaking Bad for sure. She already kind of has that. I could see Annie being Jesse Pinkman. I think more easily.
Okay.
I think Annie kind of being the assist on a Heisenberg operation. I think Britta. I could imagine Britta Breaking Bad. We kind of saw her that last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Shirley makes the most sense for sure. I guess Dean's already on his way to Breaking Bad to some degree. He's got one of the parts down. And if he's the darkest timeline version of the Dean would look exactly like Heisenberg, Jess.
I mean, yeah, I would say we've been recording too much Succession lately. And all I could think of the Dean was he went nut nut, literally.
He did. Dean went nut nut in this episode and I died. I died. I will say this. So I'm just hopping off of having watched this episode, Jess. I think it was like a good episode of Community. It did not blow my mind. A couple of things happened in this episode that had me laughing as hard as I've laughed at Community. So there are a few guffaws. I'm going to have to finalize my scores on the fly here we're going, but a fun way of doing business for sure. We are, of course, live for the patrons of post-show recaps watching us record Community Building Live. You can become one. Go to patreon.com/post-show-recaps to get early access to Community Building, to get Community Building without commercial interruption, and to watch us live and join the crew. We've got a really fun chat going on right now, including so Bram had written in. Bram is with us live. Bram says, I had no clue about Gilligan and I couldn't believe it when he showed up. Very fun. The other comment that I want to reference is from longtime first time, who writes in and says, hey, how's Josh recording all these podcasts? I don't even have time to listen to them. Yeah, great question. We've got a lot of podcasts happening on post show recaps right now, folks. Jess and I have already talked about March is really happening. A lot of TV is happening here in March 2023. Ted Lasso returns. Yellow Jackets returns. The Mandalorian returned today. I talked about it with Rob Cesternino on the Rob and Josh podcast. Today being March 1st when we record the Community Building. If you're in the main feed listening to Community Building, a couple of days have passed since this moment in time. Also coming later in the month, Jess, at the end of March, March 26th, Succession Season 4 is arriving on HBO. And guess what else we know now about Succession Season 4? It is the final season of Succession. And this news was announced with 31 days left to go between the announcement and the final season premiere of Succession. There are 29 currently existing episodes of Succession. Jess Sterling, Grace Leader, and myself went nut nut and decided, you know what we're going to do? Daily Succession rewatch podcast. So that is an ongoing active situation in the Succession podcast feed, where it is friendly for people who have never watched Succession before. We're keeping it spoiler free one episode at a time. And I think it's also pretty fun to revisit these episodes and revisit these characters. So if you are somebody who has watched the show a bunch, hopefully you're getting some value out of it. But Jess, we have already recorded all of season one of Succession at this point. It's been a real trip. It's been very, very, very fun to do.
I've had such a good time with it. I know people are like, you are nuts for doing that many podcasts. And like, probably.
Yes.
But also, it gives me life. Like, it gives me energy. It is so much fun. It is. I've said this to Will maybe a month ago. I was like, I think Succession is my favorite show. Like, I don't know why. It just fully hit me. I've always said other shows were my favorite shows. But I don't know. I think Succession just has everything that I like in a show, which is kind of weird because it's like a bunch of businessy people doing businessy things. But ultimately, it is about the family in italics, but also not really in italics. And it's so funny and dramatic and wonderful and amazing. And I love Succession. So I'm having so much fun talking about it. And you know what? I got to say, props to us, because every single podcast is like about an hour.
It's about an hour. Yeah.
That's sometimes pretty great.
Sometimes it's a few minutes over, but sometimes it's a few minutes under. We've been really trying to keep it to just about an hour.
Been
so hopefully easy to listen to. You can go back into the archives and check them out if you don't have time to do it on the daily. But that is the Daily Succession podcast happening in the lead up to the March 26th return for the fourth and final season of Succession. Jess, we are here to talk about VCR maintenance and educational publishing. Yeah, this is a good episode, I think. There's some funny stuff, but I do think maybe this episode was starting to highlight a couple of the things that I'm a little bit concerned about in this era of Community, namely that without Troy, I don't know how I'm necessarily feeling about the Abed and Annie stuff. I have to be really honest with you.
Yeah, I think I don't disagree.
I guess that's part of the point of that storyline.
It is. I mean, you know what? At the very least, they're addressing it and they're saying, they're pointing it out. They're not like, Troy never happened. They're pointing it out. I think this episode is good, not great for me. It's decent. And I think it like goes to show how great season five is, that like even an episode that we're not like super high on is still okay. It's still pretty good. It still has some really good moments. But I do agree. I think like for me personally, I think Abed stands out more as someone who, I mean, classic Annie Stan talk here, but Abed is someone who stands out to me as more of like faltering without Troy around. I think Annie still seems mostly similar to how she usually is, but without Troy to bounce off of, Abed just doesn't feel as Abed-y. I don't know. Like there's just something missing.
I mean, the moment at the end with the rain pouring down, that was a great Abed moment, you know, emulating a rom-com, you know, apologies. That was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And I liked meeting Annie's brother. That was fun. I liked where he's like, can I poop?
Spencer Crittenden. Shout out to Spencer Crittenden. Do you know Spencer Crittenden, Josh?
No, I do not.
So a little backstory. Jinx.
Wait, whoa. Is this somebody you know and I don't?
No. Well, I mean, I know who he is. We've done it. It took five seasons, but we did it.
It happened.
So shout out to Jank, who did put this backstory in our patron Discord. So Spencer Crittenden was attending a live recording of Harmontown, which was Dan Harmon's podcast way back in the day. At the time, Dan Harmon had asked for a dungeon master, and that is Spencer who volunteered. And he became like a figure on the podcast. Eventually, I don't know if you've ever seen Harmon Quest, which is something I've also checked out.
It's like Dan Harmon playing D&D with people, right?
Exactly. And Spencer Crittenden is the DM.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So he really is like, he knows Dan Harmon, which makes sense why he's on the show here. But yeah, him playing Annie's brother is so funny. Can I poop? And Abed's like, your brother just asked me to go to the bathroom.
It was just air.
He's low-key like the funniest part of this.
He's very funny. He was good.
Some silly things.
No, he's not the funniest part of this, because there's three other moments that destroyed me. One of them coming up very, very early on in the episode. Got to imagine that this is one of the elite Dean moments of all time. Yep. Certainly for me. So let's talk about it. Let's take the episode apart. How about we do a quick commercial break at the top? And when we return, we will talk about VCR maintenance and educational publishing all the way through. Stay tuned.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. Let's talk about VCR maintenance and educational publishing. Jess, originally aired March 13th, 2014.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, but also 9 years later.
It's not coming up.
March 13th.
Unless we're about to play Time Machine, where we say go back to the Time Machine, and then we go back to the Time Machine.
Mm-hmm. So Jeff, Shirley, and Hickey are assigned to clean out the East Hall storage closet. We find out Rachel and Abed are celebrating their 1 month anniversary.
Hey, look at this. Brie Larson is back. So wait, is this the end of Brie Larson now? Is this the last time we'll see her? Or will we see her more?
She's asking and I keep not remembering.
Just don't tell me. I'll just wait.
Maybe she comes back.
Every time I see her now, it'll be a new delight. So exactly. This is good. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So apparently she got him an old VCR game called Pile of Bullets. Now, have you ever played a VCR game like this?
I have. Actually, kind of funny, there used to, I know we have a really robust Dungeons and Dragons community around the post-show recaps experience, so I wonder if this is going to ring any bells for anybody, mm-hmm. but there was like an old Dungeons and Dragons board game, I think, that came out with it came out with like a videotape that was sort of choose your own adventure-y. There was like a bunch of like different characters who are going through a forest and they go to a castle. And I know that the barbarian or the fighter was played by Malibu from American Gladiators. And that's all I remember about that. But I can like put it in my mind's eye. I can see it. I can visualize it. I don't know that I could explain it any further than that. It's probably the closest I've come to something like
interesting.
Do you ever play a VCR game like this before, Jess?
I did. Much less cool, though. I had a Candyland VCR board game. Yeah.
That's it? That's all? That's it?
I remember, like, sometimes I would just watch the tape instead of playing it. I don't know why. Probably because no one wanted to play with me.
Pretty depressing.
Makes it sound very sad.
That is sad.
So
I'm sorry about that mulch.
Listen,
that's really tough.
I forgot about my nickname already.
That's really tough.
1 week later.
Yeah.
So Abed does say, though, that their relationship is 12 times more efficient. So it's really, it's been like a year.
Yeah.
Their sleep cycles are in sync. They can communicate with their eyebrows. And she knows my Netflix password. Actually, it's Jeff's Netflix password.
Oh, well, they're, you know, flash forward 10 or so years, they're not going to be able to share that Netflix password anymore.
Oh, gosh.
That still is, TBD, I suppose, but yeah. When it's actually 10 years from March 13, 2014, I bet they won't be able to share the Netflix password.
How long do you
password.
Wait until you give out your like streaming password to someone?
You know what? Relationships are situational, Jess. You know, it's not on us to dictate the speed with which they're committing to each other, right? You get your Netflix password out there on your own schedule.
Can you and Emily communicate with just your eyebrows?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, we could definitely communicate just with body language. Absolutely, 100%. Especially like when we're in like a situation.
And you're like, we got to get out of here.
Any kind of situation where like to say our actual truth out loud would not be, let's say it would be uncouth, right? We can communicate with pure body language at this point. We've been together for a very long time. This is not a flex. It's just the reality. It's like we're getting very close to being with each other for half our lives at this point.
Oh my gosh. Like,
yeah,
that's
we do kind of share a brain. I wish I could share some of the culinary skills. Working on it. What's up, HelloFresh? Anyway,
there you go.
Let's keep going.
So Annie's brother's in town. She was going to make salmon for them tonight, but Abed wants a double date, and so Annie has to make buttered noodles.
Is that all he eats? Is buttered noodles?
Seems like it.
Yeah. Okay.
And pancakes. We know he likes Annie's pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
The dean comes in a payday outfit.
What's about to happen is extraordinary. Just extraordinary. Yeah. Every last piece of this. I don't know that I can do the full rap. Are you able to do this, Jess?
No. I mean, I could speak it. I cannot rap it.
Well, I'm a peanut bar, and I'm here to say your checks will arrive on another day. Another day, another dime, another rhyme, another dollar, another stuffed shirt with another white collar. Criminals, Wall Street, taking the... I can't keep doing it. I just love the Barack Obama is scared of me. unbelievable what happens here. It's just a pure explosion, and it seems like it takes not only everybody in the room off guard, but the dean himself collapses in tears by the end of it. He was possessed.
This is one of the funniest community moments of all time.
I was dying. This was incredible.
Yeah. So apparently Jim Rash performed this in just one take. But poor Gillian Jacobs, and you can even see it in the
scene.
You can
absolutely see that she is about
to
break.
Can't stop breaking.
She's going to break. She's probably breaking because like her face is turned away. And then when she turns to the rest of the group, you know that they cut it exactly as long as they were able to do it because she was about to explode. Really, really amazing. Very, very funny.
One of my favorite parts was at the very end. He goes, let me clear my throat.
Joel McHale, I think, was about to lose it.
Everybody. It's just, it sucks for them because they're the two like in the shot.
That's tough.
It's iconic. It is the best Dean moment. It is so funny. It's so ridiculous. And I love that at the very end, we see him trying to do it again and he can't get that magic.
Oh my God. Back. Yeah. Dean's perfect in this episode. Five meow meow beans.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're in the apartment. And Annie and her brother, as we mentioned previously, played by Spencer Crittenden.
That's a good story. That's really fun. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. With Spencer Crittenden. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So they're preparing dinner. The fridge door is broken, and so Abed and Annie have to work together to take the door off. Apparently their landlord is in jail and money is tight, and Anthony just fixes it instantly.
He's very handy, and Annie's like, we should just keep him around, we should have him move in. And Abed says, well, you're kind of putting me on the spot. I guess my first reaction is I'd be concerned that he's a Viking and may only use our home as a temporary base before moving inland where lumber is more plentiful.
Yes. And so Abed's like, well, what about Rachel? We've been like practically dating for a year. Meanwhile, Anthony is asking questions like, should I just keep cutting carrots? Yeah. And Annie's like, yes. It's like, can I go poop? And,
yeah, can
and
I poop?
Like, yeah, just keep cutting the carrots. He's like, I don't think you actually heard what he was saying. You could go poop.
Yeah, Abed says he can go poop. But then like, he didn't get very far.
No, because it was just air.
It didn't seem like he went to the bathroom. It seems
maybe he like tooted on the way, and that's when he realized that it was just air.
That's what I'm saying is he asked to poop, and then they said yeah, and somewhere between him in the kitchen and going to the bathroom, he tooted. I feel like you're already on your way to the bathroom. Maybe just wait.
Well, what if he couldn't hold it anymore?
You can't hold a fart.
Anthony, this is also a strike against roommates, right? Like if you're crop dusting, I feel like you're getting negative points.
I understand if you can't hold a poop. That's a different story. Can you not hold a fart? I don't know.
Sometimes they just slip out.
I guess. That doesn't really happen to me. I gotta be honest.
No? Wow, lucky
no,
you.
No. We're getting really personal right
we
now.
We are. I mean, you're the one who started this.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Listen, they don't call me mulch for nothing.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I don't know how much further down this particular rabbit hole we want to go.
My husband's probably about to babe text me. In the storage room, Jeff complains about having to clean out the whole storage room. They end up finding a stack of textbooks in a vent. I love chemistry, third edition, mint, $200 retail, $160 on the street.
Yeah. And Shirley's well, we got to report this, right? We got to go to the dean about this. And Jeff and Hickey are both like, no, we got to be selling this. We got to put this on the market. We've got some pristine, some primo stuff here that we got to be pushing. This is the blue crystal of textbooks, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. And Shirley's just like, oh, but what about God? And they're like, you know what? When God thinks you deserve something, he drops it on you like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And Shirley immediately 180. She's like, we're going to do this right. We're going to get clean. We're going to do it safe. We're going to move these to my restaurant in bread carts. We're going to sit on them until we know they're cold. And then we're going to price them through a third party. And we're going to unload them in a single score. None of that nickel and dime crap. I don't want to leave a trail.
So yeah, she's like been born. She was born for this.
Yeah.
This is not a surprise. We've seen Shirley break bad before, but here in like the sort of Breaking Bad episode of Community, she's really going for it.
Yeah. Yeah. She is. She's ready to do this thing. If she's committing, she is all the way in.
All the way in. No half measures, Walter.
No.
Yeah.
Back in the apartment, Annie tells a story about her and Anthony playing as kids in a time machine, trying to get Abed to realize, wow, you and Anthony have so much in common. Meanwhile, he's telling Annie all about Rachel's water pick.
Yeah. She's got the water pick, and that would be a good time to talk about the water pick. Never used a water pick, I don't think, but that would
be cool. My dad's a big fan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like a useful instrument for sure.
Yeah.
So Annie and Abed, they walk away to have a private conversation, and when they do, we're stuck with Anthony and Rachel. What do you think happens after you die? She says, I don't know. He says, you're lucky. That's awesome. Very funny.
It's like he's so deadpan, and it's funny. So perfect for this role, especially when you think about him being Annie's brother. Yeah. It just is like, it's such a weird combo, but it works.
So here's the thing for me about this storyline, because now like Annie's and Abed, they're gonna play rock, paper, scissors. No, that's just like a dice. That's a nine-sided die. They're gonna now play pile of bullets instead. This is what's gonna happen. They're doing like their weird little handshake that's not quite, it's in progress. And it's cute, not hot, right? This is what we say, I think, sometimes. I think that the storyline's not terrific for me, but some of the ingredients are really great. Anthony is great. I think Brie Larson is really endearing as Rachel, for sure. I think that the pile of bullets is ridiculous, and seeing Vince Gilligan on my screen is great. this just like the handshake. I guess it is a work in progress, but turning Abed and Annie into the new Abed and Troy, I think that they still have some work to do before I'm sold on it, I guess is my point.
I totally agree, because when I look at the individual ingredients, I like it, right? I like Anthony. I love Brie Larson. Pile of Bullets is hysterical. Annie and Abed being competitive with one another is fun. But there's just like a little, it's like the special sauce. There's like something that is like missing, and it is a thing called Donald Glover.
I think that's it. Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I enjoy this episode, and I like Annie and Abed generally as a pair. But I think like they even say it, that there's just there's something missing without Troy around.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Meanwhile, back in storage room. Britta comes in. She sniffs the textbook.
This was the second moment that destroyed me. Gillian Jacobs just like taking a huge whiff of book, just drinking it with her nostrils, just smelling that thing. Big sniffs of the book. And her whole vibe, Britta's whole vibe, that like she knows people. She knows somebody that knows people. She can get these books moved, but she needs 50% of the whole thing. And Jeff is the first to relent. Jeff is definitely the LVP of this crew in this room, which does not seem like it is how it would normally be. You would think that like Jeff would be a little bit more gung-ho, selfish about this and like a hard line negotiator, but he just capitulates to Britta's give me 50% real quick. And it's Shirley who shows like, no way. 25% a pop. That's all we're going to do. No shot.
Yeah, I don't know. It does really feel like Jeff is kind of the one with the least to do this episode. Like, he has the least going on, the least, like, funny role. And I don't know why. I don't know. Like, I feel like they could have done something that felt more true to Jeff. Part of him does, like, not really care sometimes. And he does kind of just, like, give in because he's just not interested.
Yes.
But when it comes to money, I don't know that that's usually how he operates. So I don't know. Jeff doesn't really work for me. He's just very meh this episode.
He's just there. He's kind of just there. He's sort of just there. Yeah. And like, he's a little bit less than just there for me in this one.
Yeah. And also, earlier in the episode, when Britta first comes in, she talks about how like she knows where she is, even though they blindfolded her, because it doesn't smell like her weed.
Yeah. Like, but she knows where she is based on like the specific type of weed smell.
Yeah.
And so in walks Benjamin Chang.
Yeah.
Rocking a bong that he like puts around his back once he gets caught.
So hysterical to me. And just like, walking in with a bong.
I didn't see anything. I don't know what's going on here. I'll just go. And Shirley's just like, get some rope. And immediately Chang has been confiscated. Chang is has just been taken hostage in this situation. And I'm at the edge of my seat being like, oh no, how is this going
to explode? Brilliant use of Chang this episode. I have to hand it to the show. I'm loving what they're doing with Chang this season.
It's been great. It's really been great.
It really is. Like, he is, okay, this is going to, I know we just, like, this is not a plug for HelloFresh, but, like, you know at the end when you do the sprinkle of green onion?
Yeah.
And it, like, adds, like, a little bit of something, but it's not, like, overpowering?
Yeah.
That's what I feel like Chang is, where he's, like, the little bit of green onion in the top of a dish, where it's, like, it just adds a little bit of something without being overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I'm appreciating that this season.
Yeah. He's been phenomenal. He's been the perfect accoutrement.
So back in the apartment, the group starts the game, and Vince Gilligan is here.
Vince Gilligan, a.k.a. I believe his name is Devin.
It is Devin.
Devin here. So Devin it's like the quality of it, too. Like, sort of like the fuzzy, sepia-toned, like, Wild West vibes here. I think that was part of why I didn't recognize him right away. And then suddenly I was like, wait a minute. Is that who I think that is?
Yeah, this is also when Abed is like, they're like, oh, should we read the rules? And Abed's like, oh, we'll get the hang of it. And I'm like, oh my god, no. But he turns the game on, and none of these instructions make any sense. It's all about like, you say draw or bang, and I think it's Rachel says, are we sure this is a game and not an art film?
Yeah, it does feel like maybe it was an art film. Rachel and Anthony are uninterested. Annie and Abed have skin in the game though. So they're both really infested. Let's go back to the storage room where Chang is being forced to record a video confession that he is the person with all of the textbooks. And at first he doesn't really sell it. They're not impressed with his performance. And Chang himself is like exasperated at this moment in time. His life is on the line. He's scared. He's afraid, Mulch. He's afraid.
Yeah.
And so he puts on the performance of a lifetime as the camera rolls again and his whole body shifts and his face shifts and his voice changes. I love textbooks. I love to kiss them. I just love to kiss these stolen textbooks. I keep them here so I can come in here and I can kiss them. And then the video stops. He's like, all right, was that good enough? Please let me go. I'm on parole. I was dead. I was destroyed. Mm-hmm. I thought that this was hysterical. Very, very, very funny. Really good.
Yeah. We get a another version of the bit of Britta saying, like, we will say everybody.
Yeah. On Netflix with closed captioning, it literally says Gary Oldman voice. Very funny.
Yeah. Jeff thinks they've gone too far at this point, and he wants to just leave quietly and let everyone else split the money, but Shirley tells Hickey to tie up Jeff as well.
Yeah, Jeff's the first one tied up. Bad look for Winger. You're in too deep, man. If you're going to extricate yourself from the situation, you got to be a little cleverer than this, I think.
Yeah. So Annie and Abed have gotten extremely competitive with this game. Anthony and Rachel just don't even care. They don't want to be involved at all.
No.
It's just, yeehaw, tornado! And they have to, like, spin in circles.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the body language is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Rachel and Anthony are really turned off by this whole process. They just really don't want to be involved at all.
No, because they're just like, they don't understand why Annie and Abed are so into it.
Yeah.
And Rachel saying, Abed, I think you're having one of your special times. I'm going to give you some space.
Yeah.
She says, I don't like this side of you, and I don't like that side of VCR technology. I'm glad it's a dead medium.
Yeah. If Rachel was, if she qualified for Meow Meow Beans, I think I would have to dock her for celebrating the death of the VCR.
Really?
VCR, the VCR. You like the VCR? I'm not glad that it's a dead medium. How about that? I have a lot of fond memories of the VCR.
But you get to rewind them.
I am thrilled that I don't have to do it anymore, I suppose. But am I glad that it's dead? No. I've got a lot of nostalgia and warm, fuzzy feelings wrapped up in the VCR, much like the tape that's in the VCR tape, Jess. You don't have any nostalgia for a,
cassette? I am of the age where, let's put it this way.
It was changing for
you. It was changing. So I still was watching like kid movies when DVDs started happening.
Yep.
Like it got to the point where we went to my local video, like rental place when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever rented a DVD, I don't know why they had this on there, but they had one of those like be kind, rewind stickers on the box. And I remember asking my mom how I was supposed to rewind this. Like it was a DVD. Like, how do you rewind it? No, I don't miss them. They're so clunky and the tape could get all messed up. And on top of that, they're bulky. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they are bulky. They are bulky, but, they mean something to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as sentimental. You know that.
Yeah, I am for my sins. Anyway, so that's not going to do it. No one's happy about this. So they all leave.
I do love Anthony reading Abed for filth when he's like, I don't know what that was, but I don't think you have a girlfriend anymore.
That's pretty good. back at the storage room, effectively, everyone's going to get tied up. Every last one of them.
Yeah, because Chang and Jeff basically manipulate everyone into thinking that no one is trustworthy here.
Yeah.
So I do love Shirley's call out of, as if you're Mr. Trustworthy, Hickey, why do you have so much access to rope? And then we flash cut and Hickey and Britta are also tied up. So Shirley has now tied up. Everybody's tied up except
for
Shirley.
Everyone's tied up except for Shirley. I want to know how this physically happened. I want to know how Shirley was able to get it into the, because not everybody was tied up at this moment. And so how did it go down?
I think it must have been like Shirley. I mean, Shirley can be intimidating when she wants to be.
I think she overpowered them. I think she overpowered them all. She had to have.
Britta, I mean, I could see. Okay, you know what it is? Britta maybe like is like slightly frail. And I think Shirley could take her down.
Sure.
maybe she just trips Hickey and then like tricks him into being tied up somehow.
Maybe. I want to know. I want to see the blooper though. Yeah. I want to see the blooper.
But back in the apartment, Anthony is now packing up to leave. And Annie says, I'm still really hurt by mom turning her back on me when I went to rehab. And I guess part of me was mad at you for siding with her. So I thought you moving in here was some kind of moral victory. And Anthony's like, no, the unresolved issues I was talking about is about the black guy and all these photos.
Yeah, about Troy. Yeah, there's just all these pictures of Troy. Says, yeah. I don't know who this guy is, but clearly he left a vacuum. Also, I was 13 when all of that happened. So
Wild, he is supposed to be 5 years younger than Annie.
Yeah, you know, that happens. What are you going to do?
I think the beard and the hair really age him.
It throws you off. It throws you off. But, you know, he's got the beard and the hair.
Maybe he has a secret baby face.
Maybe underneath all of that, it's possible. It's possible. So yeah, the show is acknowledging like, Troy's not here anymore. And we feel it. We feel it.
Yep. So Abed, meanwhile, goes to see Rachel at her locker for his third act apology.
Uh-huh.
He hires a guy to pour. Oh, this is, what's his name? No, not Pablo, Pavlos, something like that. Do you remember him?
I have no idea who you're talking about or what's going on right now.
So sorry. They played video games
together. I wish I could
come
in here and help you out, but I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening right now.
They played video games together and Pavel. Thank you, Todd, in the chat.
The great Todd, the librarian, coming in with the take. It's Pavel.
Thank you.
I don't remember Pavel at all. No, I'm sorry.
He's pouring a watering can on top of Abed's head.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's been trying to accelerate their relationship because he's been worried he wouldn't pass a lot of the tests.
Yeah.
He really wanted her to move in because he thought if Annie was around, he'd have less of a chance of screwing things up. And Rachel's like, listen, if you just don't manipulate me or keep secrets from me, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
So the guy pulls out a little rainbow. Pavel pulls out a rainbow. And then there's a guy that walks by and just full on eats it on the floor.
Yeah, she's like, oh, that's cute that you added that. She's like, I didn't. That was just an accident. Yeah. That was funny.
I do love this is probably the best Abed moment of the episode is the silly rom-com moment.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I think like it's probably enough to give him a slight edge over Annie in this episode for me. But not much. And maybe, I don't know. I mean, I do think there's some really good Danny Pudi face acting in this episode. Like when he's practicing the smile is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's cute. It's cute. But it also feels a little try hard to me.
Yeah.
Well.
So we're in the storage room and Shirley is trying to get rid of these textbooks. So she says she inherited them from her father.
Uh-huh.
The guy offers her $20. No, not $20,000, but $20 because these are misprints. None of them have page numbers.
Yeah. Crime doesn't pay. Okay. Never forget.
So Shirley comes back and unties everybody because obviously $20 is not worth all of this.
No. So by the end of the episode, Abed and Annie are coming together and talking about how Troy was so critical to their relationship. And without Troy being there, they recognize that there is a void that is yet to be filled. And they figure maybe they need to get a therapist to live with us or at least somebody crazier than us. And as this is happening, I'm in my head thinking like, oh, is Britta about to move in? And then so then Britta walks into the room and they're both like, nah, Craigslist.
Poor Britta.
Poor Britta.
Never Poor can Britta. Catch a break.
Oh, this is fun. This is from Todd. I didn't clock this. That guy who Shirley is dealing with the books is Paul Williams, writer of The Rainbow Connection from the Muppet movie. Oh, my God.
I had no idea.
What's the Rainbow Connection to bring him into that role? I would love to know the backstory on that if anyone has that. That's wonderful. Love that.
Yeah, that's amazing, especially because there's a little rainbow in that
scene. A little rainbow.
How adorable.
And a little rainbow. Everyone's free. No one is still tied up and bound, except maybe the dean is a little tied up in the verse. He's trying to figure out his next big hit. Don't step, don't step, don't step to me.
Like coffee and water, don't step to me.
Yeah. He thinks he lost it. I think that maybe he still has it. I like that.
And then we get the end credits scene. It's 1993. Devin is getting hired for Pile of Bullets. His wife immediately like drops a plate
His wife is somebody, and I couldn't quite place it, but I know that that's somebody. I feel, was it like Gina Gershon, maybe? Oh. Is that possible? Somebody in the chat, let us know. But I'm pretty sure that that was somebody notable.
Gina Gershon, you are
okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, so this is a loaded cameo episode. Mm-hmm. Lots of different strange cameos. So here's Devin. It's 1993, and we see him get hired for a pile of bullets, and he takes the job. He's going to become the new Luke Skywalker and the new Star Wars is what they're saying. We got to move to L.A. But he was supposed to instead like get really deep in Apple and like have a lot of money from that. And this is what they chose instead.
Yeah.
So.
And they end it with, sweetie, remember we were talking about trying cocaine? I think we should start looking for some because we can afford it.
We
now.
Can afford it. We can
so
afford
sad.
It.
So sad. I don't want to know what happened to Devin and his wife.
So I got to tell you, I will ultimately go ahead. But like, is this basically how the end credits go from now on? Or is it, they're just like sort of like some of these like strange little vignettes?
They change it up. I mean, yeah. Obviously without Troy and Abed around, they do change it up. I wouldn't say this is always how it goes.
Okay.
I did go ahead too because I mean it's Vince Gilligan. Like I'm not gonna that's like it.
That's
Vince
what's
Gilligan
doing. That's what's doing it for me. But I thought that this was fine. I thought it wasn't next level by any stretch of the imagination for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I'm slightly scared of the health of the end credit scenes, but we'll see. We'll keep it going.
Yeah.
Some F community feedback for this episode. A hot take right off the gate from the always present on the podcast, but doesn't speak on the podcast, but always sings on the podcast, the great Corey B. Corey B says, Payday is the best candy bar. What do we think about that take, Jess? Payday is the best candy bar of
I gotta all disagree with this.
All the candy bars. Payday is number
you know what
one.
You know what I'm getting if I'm going to like if I'm stopping at a convenience store and I'm getting a candy bar. Do you know what candy bar I'm getting?
Are you getting a Snickers?
No.
Are you getting a Take Five?
No, but you're getting closer.
Are you getting
I
a
think.
Fast break?
Yes, I am.
Getting a fast break, folks.
A fast break is the best Reese's product there is.
Nope, not true, but it is good. It is good.
What's your favorite Reese's product?
They never
Straight
got
Reese's.
Yeah, it's the best. The peanut butter cup, they got them on the
not
first
even
shot.
The one that's like either the thin ones or the chunky ones, just the plain.
I love them. I love them all in any capacity. I'll take them. You know, they got it on the first try.
I like.
And so after that,
it.
They're like, all right, well, we need to keep doing other stuff, even though we aced it on the first.
Now they're
one.
Putting like potato chips in them.
Yeah, I had one of those. You couldn't really taste anything.
I don't think
weird.
It's worth it.
It was weird.
I think the thing is the fast break has the nougat, and I love a nougat.
I like nougat, too. I don't know that I need it in that situation. I went through a fast break phase, though. I did. I did have a torrid affair with the fast breaks. Oh. Once upon a time, many moons ago at this point in time. Adam's in the chat. Adam is saying the specialty Reese's, like the Christmas tree, bunny, pumpkin, those are always the best because of the freshness. That's a good take, actually. I also think that like the shapes, you know, like make it so that the ratios are different. So the holiday themed Reese's are also kind of exciting on that level because it's going to taste a little different too.
It is.
But Reese's is where it's at.
Yeah, but I will say the candy bar that I like that I feel like not a ton of people like is an Almond Joy.
Almond Joy is great.
Because it tastes like a Samoa, and who doesn't like a Samoa?
I guess I just don't really know the Payday that well. Is there chocolate in the Payday, or is it just straight peanut butter?
Isn't it not like chocolate surrounding nuts? Let me see.
If there's chocolate involved, then I'm open to it.
There's so much nuts in this. What even is this? Oh, I think it's just nuts and caramel.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
Here
know
we go.
I can't sign on for best candy bar if there's no chocolate involved.
So the original Payday candy bar consisted of salted peanuts rolled over a nougat-style sweet caramel center.
That sounds pretty good.
Apparently in 2020, Hershey's released a chocolatey Payday bar, which it's identical, but it's covered by a layer of chocolate. That's what I was thinking of. Okay, so I don't know
long
if that
time,
replaced
Long
it.
Time first time with the right take. Peanut and caramel and salt and salty as hell. No chocolate. Like, you
I can't
need
get
the
into
chocolate.
That.
You need. I love salty and sweet. Big fan, but you don't have enough of the sweet in there.
I need chocolate.
You need that chocolate.
Need that chocolate.
The birthday king, Eric Divestein, writes in, so did the dean actually lose control during an improvised rap, as he claimed, or was that a carefully planned act to distract everyone from the fact that they're not getting paychecks? I don't think Dean is quite that clever.
I don't think so either.
Unfortunately.
It feels very real.
Cenk continues with the payday. The payday rap, along with Kiss from a Rose and the Christmas row, are my top three favorite moments from Community. Endless YouTube rewatches. This is a really fun episode with Shirley leading the crew Breaking Bad. Fitting for an episode guest starring Vince Gilligan. Pile of Bullets is painfully relatable for a bad board game night. Spencer Crittenden does great in his guest spot here as someone who's not an actor by trade. Do we ever see him again on the show? Does he come back in
no.
any?
No. That okay. I feel very confident in saying.
Okay. He was really fun, though. I really liked him a lot. Riley doesn't have a big essay for this one. He says, this is probably the most pretty good episode of season 5 for me, but it has, without a doubt, objectively speaking, the funniest moment in the history of television. The peanut bar rap is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Nothing cracks me up harder. It is really, really funny. I laughed very, very hard. It was great.
It's like, I think it's just like the outfit alone is so ridiculous, and then the rap starts and you're like, what's happening? And then it just goes so many places.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing.
Let's do the meow meow beans. Jess, you want to go first while I figure mine out?
I shall. Bottom to top, as per the huge, I gave Jeff a 2.5. He's there. He's fine. He just, like, there's not a ton for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's just very meh. And so I gave him a 2.5. I gave a lot of people 3.5s. I give Britta, Abed, and Annie all 3.5s. Maybe I could give Britta a little bit more for sniffing the textbook in such a funny way, but I think they're all pretty even, where they're like slightly above average, but they're not doing anything extremely stellar this episode to warrant more.
Yeah.
So I gave them all 3.5s. I gave Cenk a 4, Josh.
I love it.
This is growth. We like to see this.
We love it. We love a growth narrative. Yes.
I got to be honest. I said this earlier. I think Cenk is like, they're really knowing where to put him.
Typically, Cenk grosses you out. So like, to see this level of growth is pretty good.
Yeah. I thought he was very funny. It's something the way he's just like, he's tied up. And he has
his body language is incredible.
And also, I got to be honest, I fully lost it when he walks in, just like casually strolling in with a bong in his hand.
It's so funny.
So he got a 4 from me, and then I had to give Shirley and the Dean both 5s. I mean, like, Shirley just doesn't get moments like these a lot, and maybe it's overselling it. Maybe she deserves a 4.5, but she's just so badass, and like, she broke Bad, and I think that I wanted to give her a 5, and so I did.
Yeah.
And the Dean, I mean, easiest 5 ever. He obviously, the payday rap is so iconic. I can't not give him a 5. In this
totally.
Episode.
Okay. So I think I got this. I also agree that Shirley deserves a 5 in this episode. She doesn't have a ton of like laugh out loud stuff for me, but this just works really, really well for Shirley in this episode. This like vibe, I think, is a really good Shirley vibe, and she hasn't had enough of these moments mm-hmm. in a long time. So I'll give Shirley a 5 as well. But I think that, the problem here is like, this is one of those moments where like, I wish that we had we could go further on the scale, because like Dean is like an infinity, clearly.
We could give someone infinity.
You know, he's just so good. I think like I want to honor the humongous laughs that I had by giving Dean, Cenk, and Britta all 5s as well.
Oh, wow.
I just laughed so hard at those moments. And maybe part of it is because I'm like podcast punch drunk. But the truth is,
yeah, I feel
laughed.
That.
I laughed so hard at that stuff. I thought it was so, so, so funny. Okay, so those are 4 5s that I'm handing out here, like paydays on Halloween. Abed and Annie, I was thinking maybe Abed to scooch higher, but I don't know. I think they're both kind of middle of the road for me in this episode. So that's where I'm going to put them both. I'm going to give them both 2.5. 2.5 for Abed, 2.5 for Annie. And I kind of just like, I'm parking them there because I think they're still figuring out what this dynamic looks like. And mm-hmm. even it's a little more of an Abed problem than an Annie problem. I agree, but Abed's a little funnier than Annie in this episode too for me. So I think I'm just going to put them on the same pedestal, 2.5 for each of them. Jeff is the weak link of the textbook thieving guild. I'm going to give him 2 points. I think 2 meow meow beans is generous to Jeff Winger in this episode, who doesn't really have much else going on.
Feels very fair. So we have a good amount of movement now on board.
Oh, I love this. There's some exciting stuff happening here. Okay, so the dean, unfortunately, is in the back. He is at 74 and a half meow meow deans, just because he skips episodes every once in a while, so it's a little harder for him. Then there's like a pretty stiff competition between a bunch of these people, between Britta, Jeff, Abed, and Annie, are all kind of like hovering in the same direction. 86 yeah. for Jeff, 86 and a half for Britta, 87 for Abed, 87 and a half for Annie. And then it is a nail biter at the top between Chang and Shirley.
This is wild times.
Wild times we're living in. Shirley with 91 meow meow beans. Chang with 91 and a half meow meow beans. This is great. This is a great time.
Worth noting, we only have 4 episodes to go.
This is the greatest timeline that we're in. Do you think that there's a chance that Chang is going to be the MVP of season 5?
I'm not giving it like really great odds, but it's possible.
Wow. My gosh. Yeah. I'd love to see it. It'd be great.
It could happen. I'm singing a different tune. You never know. I could give him a 5 next week. We don't know.
You never know. All right. Dean's list time. You're going to go with Anthony.
I have to. He's so funny. I have to poop. It was just air.
It's just air. It was really good. I just feel like we can't leave Vince Gilligan unrecognized. So I'm going to give him
that. I figured you would do it so I could give Anthony the point.
Yeah,
so.
I'll give Vince Gilligan my point. Rating for this episode is hard because I think like it was good, not great. And yet there were some like huge gut busty laughs. So I think I'm going to give it 3.5, which is like higher than I thought that I would. But when I think about it, I think like it gets some extra mileage out of the fact that there were 4 or 5 worthy characters in this episode for me. So I will ultimately land at a 3.5 here for this episode of Community.
Wonderful. I gave it a 3.4. I'm not far behind you. This episode is good, not great. Like I said before, it's serviceable. It has a couple of really, really funny moments. It's not one of the more memorable ones for me. When I think of this episode, surprisingly, I think of the pile of bullets storyline, but that's mostly because of Vince Gilligan and because there is a fondness there for VCR board games. More so than because that storyline is great. So I ended up giving it a 3.4. The audience not much further below us at a 3.21, which is going to bring our average to a 3.38 for this episode.
Seventh best of the season is where we're landing.
And I will say, send in your scores, community@posherrecaps.com. If you're in our patron Discord, posherrecaps.com/Patreon, you could tag me with your scores. Because of some new scores I got sent in, we do have some changes as to what episode is at the top now.
We do. Looks like the Ass Crack Bandit has struck again, Jess. Yeah. Basic Intergluteal Numismatics is the number one episode of season 5 right now over Geothermal Escapism by a nose.
Yeah, it is a 3.982 for the Ass Crack Bandit and 3.977 for Geothermal Escapism. So it's a nail biter. Keep sending your scores in. I will keep tallying them. And this is an ongoing project, so things could change.
Okay, things could change. It's definitely possible. Ooh, next week, episode 10, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. We're playing D&D again?
We are.
How does it stack up to the original D&D?
I mean, it's nowhere near as good, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's still very fun. There is a very notable guest star on this episode that I think you will enjoy.
Okay.
It's a really fun episode. I think you'll enjoy the hickey content.
Okay. I look forward to seeing Mike Ehrmantraut in the Dungeons & Dragons world. I once had a character that I played in Dungeons & Dragons that was based on Mike Ehrmantraut. Your friend and mine, the great DM Philly, was the DM of that game. That was offline. That was a private affair. I liked
what,
that character.
What class was...
He was a fighter. He was a fighter.
Of course. Yeah, I figured, but you gotta ask, you know.
He was a fighter. He was fun. I have like a little hero forge with him on it. I don't know where it is.
What, did you make him human or was he something else?
He was a human. He was a human. Okay. He was Mike Ehrmantraut.
I could see him being like a dwarf, you know, like a very sturdy, like...
A big mistake that I made probably was not turning him into some kind of like fish person and literally being Ehrmantraut. So I regret that.
water genasi.
Yeah, I regret that for sure. All right, so that's the podcast this week. Just Sterling, the Daily Succession podcast. You're there so people can hear you every single day talking about Succession. Where else are you? What else you got going on?
Oh, gosh, just so much. I think it was last week I guessed it on Poker Face. If you're not checking out that coverage already here on Post Show Recaps, do. That show is amazing. It's so funny. And then besides that, you can hear me talking about The Last of Us. I am playing it for the first time with Brooklyn Zed. We broke the norm a little bit. We did some DLC content this week. That podcast will be coming out. I'm really loving this game. I gotta say, the show is heartbreaking. Breaks my heart just like literally every week. It's a little bit sad. Like, I think this week I left the show yelling about how everything is sad and everything sucks, and I'm so upset. Everything is terrible. But I'm really loving podcasting about it, so go check that out. And of course, on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we are finishing up season 5 of Dawson's Creek, and like, I don't know what the show is doing. It's doing something. Okay. Is it working? No. But hear us rant and rave about it on the podcast.
Okay.
Over at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And we're heading into March, which means we're going to have some... We are planning on having a bracket. Not a sports bracket, because that's not our thing. But a different type of bracket. So stay tuned for more of that. And you can find me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter.
Amazing. I'm at Ron Howard, wherever you can find me. We are community building. We would love for you to subscribe. PostShowRecaps.com/community. Ratings and reviews greatly appreciated when you are looking at the community building feed, if you've got some time to do so. You want to watch these episodes live with the patrons of Post Show Recaps, we encourage you to do so. It's always a hell of a time. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps to get in on the live episodes of community building, and also to get those ad free early access community building podcast drops. Next week, community building continues with advanced Dungeons and Dragons. Until next time, everybody, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show in season 5. If I could
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Shut up, Leonard.
Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Need it to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline makes you say,
touché.
Community building is here to stay.
Unsubscribe.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.